It's a pleasure to be with you here today on Congregational Care Team Sunday. Many of you know firsthand the service these folks on the CCT provide to our faith community. From making dinner for someone who's recovering from surgery, to writing a note to say, I care, to someone who is grieving, to talking with someone going through a rough time. These are all forms of spiritual care. And spiritual care is what I'm going to talk with you about today. For those of you who don't know me, I am a part of the spiritual care team at St. Luke's Regional Medical Center. For those of you who do know me, I'm still a member of the spiritual care team at St. Luke's. Being a professional chaplain takes a great deal of education and experiential learning. My job at St. Luke's is to provide an environment for an element of that education and learning to occur for people who are or are planning to become professional chaplains, parish ministers, or other kinds of spiritual care providers. This is known as clinical pastoral education, commonly referred to as CPE. Some CPE students enter the program with no experience of working in a hospital setting or having pastoral conversations with others. We don't require people to already know how to do what they came to CPE to learn how to do. What we do look for in applicants, in addition to a desire to minister to hospital patients, family, and staff, is self-awareness, an ability to understand and articulate their own beliefs without imposing them on others, compassion for and curiosity about others and self, a desire for learning and growth, and the willingness to risk their significance by being truly present with others. In fact, those are the characteristics of all spiritual care providers, whether they are just beginning or have years of experience. Being present with another is the hallmark of spiritual care, whether it is in the hospital, on the street, in a Starbucks, or at the Boise Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. Whether it happens through an ordained minister, or a member of the congregational care team, or any one of you. That word present gets mentioned a lot in talking about spiritual care. I think we all have some vague sense, at least, of what it means. And it sounds kind of warm and pleasant. Well, sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's messy and ugly and hard. I've had the privilege of attending deaths in which the family surrounded the peacefully dying person and lovingly said goodbye. I have also had the privilege of attending the death of a man whose wife stood by helplessly as he gurgled and blood poured out of his mouth. She tried to wipe it up with Kleenexes, and I thought I was going to be sick. It was lovely being present for one of these deaths, and it was awful being present for the other. And guess which one stays with me with the most power? I'll give you a hint. It's not the lovely one. Being present means staying in the room. Being present means staying in relationship with the persons to whom you provide spiritual care. And being present means staying in relationship with yourself and your feelings. A couple of weeks ago, one of the CPE chaplain residents showed a section of an interview with comedian Louis C.K. on Late Night with Conan O'Brien. He was talking about smartphones and how he sees them taking away our humanity. I'm going to read some of what he said, and I'm cleaning up his language just a little bit since, after all, we are in church. He said, "You need an ability to just be yourself and not be doing something. That's what the phones are taking away, is the ability to just sit there. That's being a person. Because underneath everything in your life, there is that thing, that empty, forever empty. That knowledge that it's all for nothing and you're all alone. It's down there. And sometimes when things clear away, you're not watching anything, you're in your car and you start going, oh no, here it comes, that I'm alone. It starts to visit on you. Just this sadness. Life is tremendously sad just by being in it. That's why we text and drive. I look around, pretty much 100% of the people driving are texting. And everybody's murdering each other with their cars. But people are willing to risk taking a life and ruining their own because they don't want to be alone for a second because it's so hard." Louis C.K. goes on to talk about a time when he was driving and listening to the radio, and Bruce Springsteen came on singing Jungle Land. And Louis began to feel sad. He said, and I go, "Oh, I'm getting sad. Gotta get the phone and write hi to like 50 people. Then I said, "You know what? Don't. Just be sad. Stand in the way of it and let it hit you like a truck." And I let it come. And I started to feel, oh my God. And I pulled over and I just cried. I cried so much. And it was beautiful. Sadness is poetic. You're lucky to live sad moments. The thing is, because we don't want that first bit of sad, we push it away with a little phone. You never feel completely sad or completely happy. You just feel kind of satisfied with your product, and then you die. So that's why I don't want to get a phone for my kids. I find this profound. I hear this comedian, well known for his crude and vulgar wit, speaking eloquently about spiritual care. So much of spiritual care is about being rather than doing. And I can assure you that you must develop the ability to be present with yourself before you can truly be present with others. If I haven't stood in the way of my own grief and let it hit me like a truck, chances are that when your grief is barreling down on you, I will either try to rescue you by pushing you out of the way, or I will turn and run so I don't have to see it. And neither of those choices ministers to your spirit or to mine. When the wife of the patient I mentioned earlier was watching in horror as her husband bled out, trying to mop up the mess with tiny little Kleenexes, I simply stood beside her with my hand on her shoulder. There was nothing to say, There was nothing to do. There was no control to be had. I wanted to run out of the room and get my nausea under control. But even more, I wanted to stand with this woman and share her powerlessness with her. I wanted to be present. I wanted to offer spiritual care. What I did and what I didn't do didn't come from any clear certainty about what was the best pastoral intervention with this particular person. It came from keeping an open heart in the midst of not knowing. Granted, I had the knowledge that filling the room with words or actions is not always appropriate. And I knew how to be relatively at rest in the midst of my own anxiety. Yet, open-hearted not knowing is at least as significant as professional knowledge in the practice of pastoral care. And as Douglas Parnell wrote in the reading we heard earlier, uncertainty belongs to clergy and lay people alike. It doesn't have to be a barrier. We can use our uncertainty to be with others in their uncertainty. It can allow us to be more accessible. Louis C.K. is not an ordained minister, and yet I imagine that he would be a very effective spiritual care provider because he understands that the truck bearing down on each of us brings not only pain, but healing as well, if we can only face it. I don't always stay with my own emotional discomfort. I enjoy a good distraction. I watch too much TV. I love playing Clumsy Ninja on my iPad. Sometimes it can be a form of self-care, and other times it causes me to miss the boat in my ability to be present with myself or with another person. I accept that in myself, and I invite myself to keep growing. Spiritual care is as much about the caregiver as it is about the person receiving care. Here are a few things that it might be helpful to know in order to provide care to one another at BOOF, or with family or friends, or with a weeping person you encounter at Starbucks. Number one, if someone tells you they are going to have surgery, it is probably not a good idea to say something like, "Oh my God, I had surgery 5 years ago. I got a raging infection and had to stay in the hospital for 2 weeks." It might be better to say something like, "What's going on?" Two, if someone is diagnosed with cancer or has a terminal diagnosis, can you speak words with them that may be uncomfortable for you, such as cancer or death? Can you be aware of your own feelings enough that you can then focus on how the other is feeling and say, perhaps, "Can you tell me what that's like for you?" Third, when you feel the impulse to fix a situation or say something to cheer someone up, pause and ask yourself, do I want to bring them comfort or do I want to bring myself comfort? It's a tricky question because it seems to be for them. But it is possible that by offering those words of cheer, you may be more intent on avoiding the discomfort of your own uncertainty of not knowing what to say or do. It's okay not to know what to say or do. You can be present in so many ways. Touch a shoulder. Hold a hand. Sit together in silence. Be curious about the one you are caring for. Invite them to tell you what they're going through. And finally, remember Louis C.K.'s metaphor of putting down your phone, i.e., the discomfort that distracts you or the fear of not saying the right thing, and meeting that oncoming truck with open arms. Yes, it can really hurt, and yes, it can really heal.